Well, I have kind of a stale joke. And it's about this woman who, a few days before Thanksgiving, was desperately bent over at the supermarket, rummaging through the freezer bin, trying to find a turkey that was large enough to feed her family. And she was getting really frustrated about it. And all of a sudden, the stock boy passed by and she said, "Young man, do these turkeys get any bigger?" And he said, "No, ma'am, they're dead." Well, here we are, a few days after Thanksgiving. A bump, a bump, a bump. A rim shot. A few days after Thanksgiving, what a perfect time to talk about leftovers. And certainly in that vein, my joke would apply. But leftovers are very interesting. In a way, they're a lot like politics because people tend to have a strong opinion about them one way or another. As for me, I love them. And maybe it's because when I was growing up, the only time that there were ever leftovers in the Corporan household was the day after the Thanksgiving feast. Throughout the rest of the year, meals were pretty slim pickings. But the day after Thanksgiving. I could still remember making those turkey sandwiches and just smothering them with mayonnaise. And generally, there would be leftover turkey dressing, stuffing. And except for green peas, Thanksgiving was the only time in the whole year where green vegetables ever actually made it into our house. And so for me and my siblings, it was a Black Friday with a different connotation. Because before that day was over, all of those leftovers were finally gone. Later on, as I grew older and got out of the house and got married, I came to realize and appreciate that homemade spaghetti sauce, you know, that was left to sit for a couple of days, like fine wine, it got better with age. And the same was true of stew, that if you just let it sit in the fridge for a couple of days and stew some more, it just improved. But leftovers are not for everybody. For a lot of people, they open that refrigerator door and they see something that's been sitting there for a day or two or three or four, and they have a reaction of, yuck. And remember the days when there were doggy bags? You would go to a restaurant, and if you were taking anything home, it was wrapped up for you in a doggy bag, as if to suggest that it wasn't fit for human consumption. And back in the days when I was working the church in Oak Park, we were served an elaborate lunch practically every single day. And friends, I'm talking about things like pork roast and chicken Vesuvio and shrimp ceviche, complete with all of the sides, bread and butter, salad, and of course, at least one really decent choice for dessert. Susan used to call me in the afternoon just out of curiosity and say, "What was for lunch today?" And I would tell her what it was, and she would just giggle and say, "It's incredible." And most of the time, all of the food was hand-cooked at the hands of Reverend Richard Billings. But Reverend Richard himself was not a big fan of leftovers. And so the day after this, I would go back to the church, and I would go down into the kitchen in the morning, and there he was preparing another meal. And I would say, "Richard, what in the world are you doing? You made twice as much food yesterday that we could possibly eat. Why don't we just enjoy that food?" And his response to that was, "We're having this for lunch today." And so most of the time, that leftover food got stored. They had two refrigerators at the church, and it got stored in one of those refrigerators until it either went bad or somebody came along and it was offered them, and they were more than happy to take that food home and enjoy it. One time, a friend came to visit me at the church, and I opened the refrigerator door in front of him, and I'm not kidding, there were two pitchers filled with juice. One kind of had a green tinge to it. The other one looked rather brown. And my friend laughed and said, "What's the difference?" And I said, "About 2 weeks." But I want to look at leftovers today from a broader metaphorical perspective. Leftovers are cool. They could serve as kind of the poster child for abundance, because we always speak about abundance and unity. But today I want to look at leftovers from a slightly different angle. I want to talk about leftovers in consciousness. All of us have our routines. We are creatures of habits. And we go through our lives and we live them according to those routines. Most of us go to bed at a certain time at night, get up at a certain time in the morning. We typically eat 3 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We routinely have to make trips to the supermarket to replenish our supplies, our stocks. And maybe there's a favorite news show that we like to watch on television. Or maybe there's just a really important TV show that we like to consistently, regularly watch. And we do all of these things without a lot of thought and without the realization that in all of these activities, what we really are doing is tapping into divine substance. And in all of these activities, not only the meals of breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but in all of these activities, there are leftovers. We frequently talk about metaphysics in unity, and frankly, it tends to intimidate a lot of people because they don't understand metaphysics. But all that's involved in metaphysics is taking a look at what's immediately in front of you and looking beyond what is coming to you through your senses, looking beyond what is physical in a situation. It's seeking that underlying spirit or truth of that reality. Or consistent with our topic today, it asks the question, what really is left over? So when you are having a meal, for example, it may be just that you're hungry and you need to put food into your face. And so therefore that meal is a source of nourishment. But hopefully when you're eating, you're also feeling that explosion in your taste buds, you know, from this food or from the sip of wine or whatever. And when that happens, it's no longer just nourishment. It gets enhanced to a new level. But it's really possible to enhance it even further, because when you're enjoying that food, when you're partaking of that meal, maybe you have a sense of gratitude and appreciation for your mom, your spouse, or whoever it was that prepared the meal. Even if you go out to dinner, you might have an awareness of the people working in the kitchen and the cook and the chef or whatever that has made that food for you. And you could heighten that, you could amp it up still further. So maybe while you're eating, you develop a sense of appreciation for the farmers that grew the food or for the animals that died in order for you to be fed. And ultimately, you could take it to the 9th level. And as you're enjoying that meal, you could just allow yourself to sit in the knowing that after all, it's all God. And that with every bite you take, you come away with that appreciation that you are provided for, that you are cared for, and that you are loved. In the book of Exodus, the children of Israel, the Israelites, weren't always that happy. You know, they're out wandering in the desert and they were hungry, and they would go to Moses and whine like you can't believe. Why did you ever take us out of Egypt? Yeah, we were in captivity, but at least we were enjoying 3 full meals a day. Why are you taking us out in the desert to starve? And interestingly, in that chapter, Moses points out to the Israelites that even though they were coming to him, who they were really grumbling at was the Lord. And so it reveals kind of a human tendency that we have. When things aren't going so well and the you-know-what hits the fan, we tend to lay that blame at God's feet. Not so much when things are going well, you know, and there's credit to be passed. But if you go back and you read that chapter 16 in Exodus, it will tell the story about how God fed the Israelites with manna from heaven, with bread from heaven. But it also points out that not only did it satisfy their physical needs and quench their hunger, but it would also create in them the knowing, the realization of the glory of their God, of the glory of their Lord. And it's that type of appreciation that I was alluding to before that we could have whenever we participate in a meal or in other things in our life. But again, using food as metaphors. This is an experience that extends to absolutely all activities in our lives, because whatever it is that we may do, whatever we may participate in, whatever actions we take, whatever activities are going on, there are always leftovers. There are things that fall through the cracks of every experience. So even in a close relationship that you might have with somebody, sometimes the world forces us to be very transactional in those relationships. And we miss out on some of the good stuff because of the demands of time or distractions or whatever. We have to take those things sometimes and put them on hold, shelve them, or store them in the fridge, so to speak. And ideally, hopefully, we can take them out the next day or soon thereafter, warm them up, and enjoy them. But it also happens on occasion that a day passes, or two, or three, or whatever. And when we finally open that fridge and look at them, you know, the time has passed. The time is no longer right. And so they have grown stale, spoiled, and we have to toss them out. And every single time that we do this, we have wasted an opportunity. If you ever cleaned the fridge out, you know it could be a very sobering and spiritual activity. And if you've ever done it, you know what I'm talking about. And as you're going through and you're checking out those Best Buy or Used By dates, you might shake your head and toss them into the garbage. But when you have to deal with the stuff that has been sitting there for a very long time and it has taken on a life of its own, that's when it's the worst. And in our daily lives, we frequently end up having to throw things out because it's beyond the expiry date in which they could still be enjoyed. And again, the worst case is when we have let things sit for so long that they have grown hair and we really have a mess on our hands because we didn't engage with them, we didn't embrace them, we didn't deal with them when the time was right. When I was in business, often we had bad news to deliver to our customers, and nobody wanted to do it. So we sat down one day and we had a meeting, and we agreed that bad news does not age well. So we made a joint commitment that when there was something unpleasant that we had to convey to our customers, that we would do it as promptly as possible to allow our customers to move on, to allow us to move on, hopefully to allow us to move on together. This would be an excellent piece of wisdom for each of us to take away and practice in our lives. How many times have we failed to tell somebody something? We've refrained from sharing something with them because it might be difficult or painful on some level. How many times have we had to renew that promise of, I'm going to start that diet tomorrow? How many times have we refused to even set aside 5 minutes of prayer and meditation because our lives are so complicated and our lives have become so busy? How many times have we seen a neighbor and just given a nod or a wave or a perfunctory, hey, how are you, without being fully present and engaging with them on some level? How many times have we treated the casual contacts in our life, the storekeeper, the hairdresser, the person who bags our groceries, how many times have we treated them as if they were robots instead of living beings with whom we share this incredible, powerful, beautiful Christ light? All of these things are leftovers. All of these things are not the primary focus of our attention. And all of these things, if we don't pay them proper attention, are opportunities that have been wasted. I have a friend. She had this thing. After a meal was done, she refused to throw out anything. She collected every morsel of food, carefully wrapped it up in saran wrapper, placed it in plastic containers, and put it on a shelf in the fridge, because she was raised that food should never be wasted. And that's a really good thing. The bad news is that in doing so, she knew that the next time she would touch those packages or those containers was after the food had gone bad, and she could say, oh, well, it's spoiled. I guess I have to throw it away. And she was fully aware of this behavior because we pointed it out to her. We poked fun at her for doing this. But she couldn't bring herself to break either end of that cycle. And it's really kind of fascinating because all of us have this thing. We put on this persona, this picture of how we want the world to see us and to view us. But we rarely take the time to acknowledge that it is we ourselves that we are trying to convince. The Gospels bring us the story of the loaves and fishes, and most of you are familiar with this. Jesus is teaching and preaching to the multitudes, thousands of people, and he develops an awareness, a sensitivity. These folks must be getting hungry. And he turns to his disciples and he says, what do we have to feed them? And the response comes back to him, Lord, if we were to provide enough food to feed this many people, it would involve a year's wages. But then the disciples come across a young boy with a basket that contained 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And they present this to Jesus, and he takes that basket of food and lifting his eyes up to heaven, he blesses it and gives thanks. And this terminology is significant because this business of lifting your eyes up to heaven means placing yourself, involving yourself in a greater, higher awareness of consciousness. It's about placing yourself into an awareness in which you are aligned with the Spirit of God. And whenever we are in that intense prayerful state, whatever it is that we give thanks for, whatever it is that we bless, grows and abounds in prosperity and abundance. I want to share with you a quote that Pope Francis had about this gospel story. In speaking about this miracle, he said, the parable of the multiplication of the loaves and fish teaches us exactly this, that if there is the will, what we have never ends. On contrary, it abounds and does not get wasted. In the parable, after everybody has been sated, Jesus instructs his disciples to go around and collect what's left over so that nothing will be wasted. And so there's a real valuable lesson for us, because the loaves and fishes, they represent metaphysically, they represent our thoughts and what goes on, and that we can always share in a greater, higher abundance, and that anything that is ever spirit-fed should never be wasted. Going back to that process of cleaning out the refrigerator, if you have done this, maybe at one time or another you were filled with a sense of sadness, a sense of remorse, maybe even a tinge of guilt, because you have an awareness that there is hunger in the world and that there are children who literally are starving to death. And so as you engaged in this process, it was painful from this level. And if you had that experience, that really is a good thing, because it shows that in the chambers of your heart, there are things like love and caring, and compassion. For each and every one of us, there is this wide spectrum that ranges from poverty to abundance on a spiritual plane, on a plane of consciousness. And so when those opportunities come along, when those leftovers are part of our life, and we don't use them to let our Christ light shine for ourselves and for everybody around us, always and everywhere, then what we have done is we have failed to nourish that part of our soul that just craves spiritual nourishment. The next time that you are eating a sandwich from leftovers, or you're just eating leftovers in general, pause a moment. Take time to praise the Lord and give thanks to Spirit for the abundance that you are enjoying at that moment. Take time to enjoy the leftovers in life. The leftovers in life are, you know, they're things like the smell of freshly cut grass. You know, it's the icy cold wind that we feel that goes right through us on a winter's day. It's the experience of changing our grandchild's poopy diaper. And the next time that somebody gives you a hug, or the next time that you have to take a pill to deal with some physical ailment that you might be experiencing, or the next time that somebody cuts you off in traffic, keep in mind and remember that leftovers are the spice of life. And these, after all, are leftovers. So take a moment to close your eyes, give thanks, praise the Lord, and enjoy every single bite.